It's already back to school time for some students. And one student won national acclaim thanks to the letter R. Welcome to the cities. The letter R can stand for a lot of things, but for a Bettendorf middle schooler, it means a closer look at racism and Sesame Street. His story is just ahead, but first, it's almost back to school time for students in the Rock Island Milan School District. It is the first of the districts in the cities to head back to the classroom, and it comes at a time when Rock Island is taking a closer look at itself. We talked with Superintendent Dr. Sharon Williams about the coming year and some challenges from the past one. Well, welcome to a brand new school year. I mean, you've got to be looking forward to this each year.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to be going into my third year as the superintendent of the Rock Island Milan School District. And the summertime preparing for the next school year is always exciting and full of anticipation.
So you didn't take 3 months off like the kids did, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I did take a few weeks off here and there just to reset and recharge, as that's very important in this line of work.
Absolutely.
But we're ready and ramping up to go.
Kicks off, of course, with the Unpack the Backpack at a number of different schools. I mean, that is kind of a neat way to get kids introduced to their classroom and their teachers, and just to smooth their way into the school year.
Absolutely. It's great to see families together coming to meet their new teachers. As you can imagine, lots of anticipation and uncertainty as you're moving from grade to grade, and it's a great time for families and scholars to connect with their principals, their teachers, learn about anything new coming up, and also just to get acclimated to the school again. We're having all of our Unpack Your Backpack nights for elementary schools on August 3rd and for our middle and high school on August 4th, so that families with multiple children in different schools have an opportunity to attend those Unpack Your Backpack nights.
And then the next day, August 5th, is the first day of school. What are your plans for that day?
Well, we're going to be welcoming about 6,200 scholars back to school. As you can imagine, lots of anticipation for that. We are preparing now. There's lots of construction going on in our schools, and of course our maintenance and operations team have not had one day off in terms of making sure that our classrooms are ready for students.
And I want to talk about the construction in just a moment, but let's talk about the educational opportunities at Rock Island Milan School District, because we're in the early stages of the strategic design master plan, which goes through 2030. And when we talked to you the first time, we were talking about creating this plan to move Rock Island schools forward. We're in basically the end of the first year of it.
Yes, we had about a half of a year.
Right.
We finished kind of in the middle of the year with the strategic plan. So we have five strategic priorities. We have champions and co-champions for each of those priorities. We've invited all of our school community members to be a part of those teams. And we've made some good progress in that half year.
Let's talk about that, because it's baby steps. You're just starting, but what progress have you seen so far?
So what we've done is, one, we have a plan on paper. We've communicated that with our school community. Each of those priority teams have specific goals for the first year and the 5 years of the plan. So what we've done in the first 6 months is to make sure that we're on target to meet what we said we were going to do by June 30th of this year, but also plan for the upcoming year. So part of that work has been engaging in communications, having surveys go out to our school community, looking at some of the data points that we already have in our school district, such as satisfaction survey, the five essentials survey, to understand better where there may be gaps. So each of those teams has a different role in terms of making our schools better. Strategic priority two is working really closely with our high school team on curriculum and curriculum mapping. The first priority is all about professional development for all of our employees. So we've made good gains in terms of broadening our perspective for professional learning for all employees. That includes our operations and maintenance staff, our nutrition services, transportation staff. Also just looking across the board to determine what each of our employees needs in order to be successful in their roles. had good success in building on relationships for priority five. We do have some ways that we're recognizing employees to make them feel appreciated, and they are appreciated, but expanding those opportunities are important for us. In priority four, we're focusing in on community partnerships. So we have a clearer definition of what a community partner is that helps us engage with those folks that want to engage with the school district so that we can give them the right route to go to help our schools in the way that they best can as a community partner. And the, as I mentioned before, in the communications realm, strategic priority three, we've been really looking at how we can streamline communications to each of our employee groups, our families, our scholars. We have a new communication tool coming online this year called Connect that is associated with our website. So we think that by streamlining all of that, families and scholars and our school community can get up-to-date information in a timely manner.
Understandably, I always talk to you about students and student success, and I want to talk about that in a moment, but you touched on something I thought was interesting, and that is morale inside of schools. Public schools are getting a beating by the public in a lot of different ways. I mean, is it tough keeping morale up among staff and teachers when public education has been under attack like perhaps you've never seen before?
Absolutely, and I think that our schools are a reflection of our society. So what we have done, especially with Strategic Priority 5, but overall in our schools, is to recognize the greatness that happens every day in our schools. We have a program called Shoutouts, where individuals can shout out, give kudos to any school community member within their ranks, and that has gone a long way to recognizing employees and team members that don't usually get recognized. I think that's an important part of keeping that morale up. We have worked very hard with our union partners to listen to them, to understand what the employees in that collective bargaining unit need to be successful as employees, and I think that goes a long way as well. We do a lot of listening, a lot of collaboration to ensure that everyone is feeling welcome and ready to serve scholars every day.
Let's talk about those scholars. The last report card that was issued back in November showed Rock Island Milan behind the state average in reading and math. Where do you hope to improve upon that? Because the three R's, as they always say, I mean, it's really important to get the basics down.
Absolutely. So we are excited that we did show some growth. The state cut scores did change in ELA and math. So last year we were able to get a good baseline of where we are. We have a new continuous improvement planning model for all of our schools and departments. And I think that we can take what we know about where our students are now to propel that success. So when I say we have a new continuous improvement model, what I mean is because we have a new baseline in ELA and math, our schools, each of our school leaders was able to set specific goals based on those reading and math scores in order to show progress this coming up year. We're also looking very carefully at the state's new accountability model. It is changing this year, so we will again have to kind of reset what we see as success for our schools. We're improving our professional learning opportunities. As I mentioned, that's a part of our strategic priority number two, so that each of our schools and employees can have improvement metrics for themselves and be professionally developed. Again, it's not one strategy that we would use to increase the ELA and math scores. However, we do feel like we have a better footing now, that we have a good, solid strategic plan and a way to have a roadmap in order to improve those scores.
Because there is no silver bullet. And you're talking about students that are individuals. You know, I mean, you can teach one thing in a classroom, and not everyone is going to receive it or retain it or test well on it.
Absolutely. And we are very fortunate to be a very diverse school district with many multilingual learners. We're upwards of 15% of our scholar body is a multilingual learner, and that has unique challenges, as you can imagine, learning English as your second or third language. And so we take it as that, a challenge, and meeting scholars where they are is a challenge that our teachers take on every day. And that is something that, with more professional learning, especially thinking about our multilingual learners, how teachers can meet them where they are in order to propel them to the next step. And you bring up a very important point that if you have a classroom of 25 scholars, each one of them has a different learning style, a different learning ability. We believe that they all can reach a certain point. But the magic, not magic, but the expertise and the tools that teachers have bring to bear on those 25 students is something quite remarkable to see every day.
Do you wince when I bring up the state report card or when you bring up statistics? Mm-hmm. Because you can interpret statistics in a bunch of mm-hmm. different ways, as opposed to reaching a child, as opposed to developing a child.
Yes, the state report card is one measure of how we look at student success. It is required by the state of Illinois, but I don't wince. I look at it as an opportunity. Data is data until you interpret it. And I think it's important for our school community to have information about how our scholars are doing. And it's an important tool for us to use to look at what we need to do to improve in those areas. So I don't wince. I think it's important for us to be able to explain the state report card to our stakeholders so that they better understand where our scholars are.
You have an 80% graduation rate. That's below state average. But I thought mm-hmm. it was interesting you have 94% retention rate, according to the report, which is ahead of the state. Mm-hmm. And retaining a student is so difficult. Why are those two numbers like almost in competition with each other?
So the graduation rate is really looking at the number of scholars that start in the ninth grade and graduate on time in the 12th grade. That's a very important metric for us. Over the years, the Rock Island High School has been at the high 70s in terms of graduation rate, which, as you point out, is below the state average. However, we have improved to 80%, and we're anticipating even higher this year based on our preliminary results. So that's an important metric for us. We know without a high school diploma, our citizenry, our area is not going to benefit as much as those that do have a diploma, so that they can go on into their post-secondary lives and do whatever it is that they want to do, whether that's attend a two-year, a four-year college, go into the military, go into the workforce, etc. So that's an important rate. You mentioned the retention rate. So the retention rate on the state report card is all about the teacher retention rate. And we're very pleased that we have a very high teacher retention rate. And I think that says a lot about the dedication that our teachers have to the Rock Island Milan School District and to their particular schools. But also it speaks to the salary and benefits that we offer in the Rock Island Milan School District. We're always recruiting, so I have to say that. We're a great place to work, and I think that shows in that retention rate.
I also noticed the opportunity gap has closed for Black and Hispanic students. You must be very proud of that. Because you need a safety net. You need a way mm-hmm. for people to progress in life, especially as a student. And for those who may have more disadvantages than others, in order to lessen that opportunity gap, mm-hmm. you must be proud of that.
Yes, extremely proud. As you can imagine, we do have gaps in some areas, in ELA, math, science, social studies, as you mentioned. However, we are starting to eliminate that gap in the graduation rate. And I think that's something that we can be very proud of. We're not happy with our graduation rate. As you mentioned, we are below the state average. However, we are making gains in that area, and that's something that we'll continue to look at. We look at it very closely as the school year goes on. We can kind of see who's on track and who's off track, and make plans to help those scholars who need to have a little more push in order to get to the graduation line.
As you pointed out, during the summer, you have a lot of crews that are working very, very hard. Construction
yes.
crews, you kind of alluded to, because
yes.
we're talking about the high school aquatic centers to open in the coming mm-hmm. months. That's very exciting. Eugene Field expansion, mm-hmm. Rock Island Academy expansion.
Yes.
Tell me about the progress on these construction projects.
Well, we are very busy and our summer is short. So our Building Our Future facilities management plan is well underway. We're in our second year and we have multiple projects all over our district. So you mentioned the High School Aquatic Center. Mm-hmm. We are slated to open that in January of 2027. That is a very exciting opportunity for our scholars and for our school. We're going to be partnering with the YMCA in Rock Island to help us manage that facility. So I think it's not only benefit for our scholars, but for our whole community. Also at Rock Island High School, our very historic building built in 1935, and added onto many times.
Absolutely.
We're working on our heating and air conditioning units throughout that building. So some of the work this summer is to work through each and every room to install and new univents in those classrooms to get ready for the larger project, which is tying in all of our classroom space into one system so that we can very easily control the heating and air conditioning in that building. That's a very important and extensive project that will take well over 18 months, and we've been planning for it well over 18 months because it is such a large project. But we're looking forward to being able to do that. As you can imagine, that helps with teacher morale, staff morale, when you can ensure that you're coming into a climate-controlled space that really lends itself to having a comfortable space to learn and teach.
Well, once again, school starting Wednesday, August 5th.
Yes.
You look forward to another great 26-27 school year.
Yes, absolutely. We have a few new school leaders coming on board. We have our School Leadership Institute here very soon. And I think there's just a spirit of optimism, especially with a very solid strategic plan that's going to serve as our North Star for the school district. Our board members are very excited about the construction projects going on, the progress they see with professional learning for scholars, the increase in attendance in our schools, a decrease in discipline. So going into this school year, we're very optimistic that we'll be able to build on some of the things that we've done in the past 2 years and be able to propel a lot faster now.
Our thanks to Rock Island Milan School Superintendent Dr. Sharon Williams. In a moment, a Bettendorf middle schooler wins national acclaim for his documentary that takes a closer look at a program you can watch on WQPT. But first, making the most of the end of July, thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start your week off by experiencing multiple days of concerts, fair food, carnival rides, and so much more at the Mississippi Valley Fair. Then all seniors ages 60 and up will receive free admission at the Figge Art Museum. Next, browse antiques and discover unexpected treasures at the Rust Belt Americana Antiques Show. Then grab your lawn chair and blanket and get ready for Lilo and Stitch. The movie is free for everyone. Finally, check out an open-air market featuring talented artists, makers, and vendors. For more events like these, check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
Adrian Gillette may be a middle schooler from Bettendorf, but he's also a storyteller who's getting a lot of national attention. This year, he won top prize in the National History Day documentary competition, just a year after winning the bronze prize. His focus was on the letter R, with a 10-minute documentary called Brought to You by the Letter R, Revolution, Reaction, and Reform, in Sesame Street's mission to desegregate education. Here's a small part of it.
In 1969, a revolutionary new program hit the airwaves. As children of all races scrambled to their television sets, they saw something that they hadn't seen before. At a time when American schools remained heavily segregated, Sesame Street offered its young viewers a diverse cast of children surrounded by adults of color who are nurturing, respected, and proud of their race. Such a revolutionary hidden curriculum drew a wide range of reactions. Some finding the show too progressive, others finding it not progressive enough, and inspired the reforms of a new generation of children's programming.
And the filmmaker behind Brought to You by the Letter R is Adrian Gillette. Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Sesame Street, why did you pick that as the theme for this documentary of yours?
I originally chose Sesame Street when I started learning about the PBS funding cuts that were happening. And I wanted to learn more about why someone would want to defund like Sesame Street. And so I did my topic on my favorite PBS show, Sesame Street, from when I was a kid. And as I narrowed down my topic more, I learned two things. I learned that PBS funding cuts aren't like a new thing. They've been going on ever since PBS was created. And I also learned that the real revolution in Sesame Street was its hidden curriculum of diverse characters interacting harmoniously, which was never seen before this.
Yeah, it was interesting because you also take us back historically about a separate but equal, and the Supreme Court cases that led to education reform when it comes to racism. I mean, you really did your homework, and it's more than just Sesame Street or television. You really find kind of the genesis of all of the problems in education when it comes to institutionalized racism.
Yeah, thank you. I was surprised that for Brown versus Board of Education, I was surprised that Brown versus Board of Education didn't like end segregation in schools. There were still delaying tactics that were used, and they had to issue a follow-up order in Alexander versus Holmes that basically said, integration, like, it needs to happen now, you know, and there can't be any more delay.
I also think, because you also point out how Sesame Street started, and even Sesame Street wasn't as broad when it comes to race that it could be, because it introduced black characters and it introduced Hispanic characters later on. So, I mean, in a way, Sesame Street grew as well.
Yeah, they had a lot of criticism in their early years. For example, there's a Muppet called Roosevelt Franklin, and people criticize him for being, promoting racial stereotypes, that were offensive to some people. And they heard this, and they ended up cutting the character. So they kind of evolved internally, too.
What do you like about Sesame Street? Because you said that, in a way, that was your favorite program as well on PBS. I mean, I remember it as well because it was just fun. It was it was clever. It was fast moving. It had, you know, catchy little sayings. You know, you just got used to that program.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with it. I watched Sesame Street when I was a kid or younger too. So, yeah, I mean, it was my favorite PBS show.
And the fact that you used it as a way to tell a story is really interesting. And this isn't the first time. You won the bronze last year, and you've got to meet perhaps a hero of yours when it comes to a documentary. Tell me a little bit about that.
Ken Burns.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to meet him. I mean, it was awesome. He watched my documentary, I think, twice, and he asked me some questions about my documentary. Last year it was on book banning. So he asked me about censorship, stuff like that. It was pretty cool. I also got to ask him some questions.
I would think so.
Yeah, I asked him how he gets his interviews, his interviewees call him, and it was awesome. You know?
Because he has a story. He just has a beautiful way of weaving a story from one point to the next. He doesn't rush through it. You become immersed in it. You become part of it. And in a way, your story was very much the same. You were able to weave the story throughout. You didn't rush through anything. Do you think people, after watching your documentary, whether you're 7 years old or 70, will get something out of it?
I think they should. I mean, I'm creating an argument that isn't argued that often. That Sesame Street not only showed the civil rights movement, but directly impacted the civil rights movement. through its diverse cast of characters, and it kind of normalized diversity in American education.
You know you're just a kid, right? and let's be honest, I mean, you really know your stuff. I mean, far more than many adults that I know. So where do you go from here? And once again, it's like, when I said 7 to 70, they can listen to you and tell the story and learn something. So we can learn something from younger people as well. Where do you hope this documentary and the work that you've done leads you?
I mean, I don't know.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going into high school next year. And the next theme for next year's NHD project is, well, this year was revolution, reaction, reform. Mm-hmm. Next year's is innovation. So I'm just brainstorming for next year. I haven't actually come up with like a topic yet. But, you know, I don't know.
Anything interest you in particular? Because that's a broad topic. That'll be a fun one to look into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at like different like takes on innovation, like negative innovations that were bad for the world. And I'm looking at stuff like that interests me, like music, like TV shows, movies, stuff like that.
Well, good luck to you, and keep teaching all of us with the work that you do, all right?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Our thanks to Adrian Gillette, Bettendorf Middle School student, filmmaker, and the winner of the National History Day Gold Medal Award for Junior Documentary. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.